Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting extortion from the Vinny Eastwood Show, which you can support on Patreon. And all of those links to the bank account and PayPal are available at the vinnyeastwoodshow.com. Pay your monthly tithe to the cult of Vinny Eastwood, you know, because basically the whole concept is we just get people on the radio who are doing really important shit around the world. Don't care what their beliefs are. As free speech, either all of us have it, or indeed none of us do. And that's why everybody deserves a say, and indeed gets it, right here on the Vinny Eastwood Show. On American Freedom Radio, no taboo topics, no fear of doom. Ladies and gentlemen, AmericanFreedomRadio.com needs your support as well, because they're the people who gave me the show. They fired my co-host and gave it to me. It was good. You know, it was a good decision, I think. Now, my very special guest, Matt Landman, joins us. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny. Thanks for having me.
I'm very glad to have you here. Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Yeah, me. I like to try to convey to people that I'm a normal guy. I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area from the States, grew up on the East Coast, and I've lived all sorts of different walks of life. You know, I've been a farmer, I've worked in finance, I've worked in the stock market, I've worked in management and all these different things. And finally, ultimately, I woke up to chemtrails and nobody knew about it. So I decided to devote my life to it and finally got a movie that I'm proud of about it out there. And so I'm a social change activist documentarian.
And the movie is?
Frankenskies, of course. Sorry.
See, the show's like a bathtub, son. It doesn't work very well without a plug. Now, I did get a chance to watch Frankenskies, and it gave me remnants of Jason Burmes' film Fabled Enemies. Now, at the very beginning of that film, they get congressman after senator after president after, like, X number of influential people in the U.S. Congress all saying, New World Order this, New World Order that. And it was just, it got to the point where it was just relentlessly put in front of me that it was completely undeniable, right? And the same thing I felt with Frankenskies just from start to finish, when you get all of these different little references. I love the editing. It just fades in and out so smoothly between all these little clips. I can imagine the insanity and the brain places hurting that must have occurred as a direct freaking result, bro.
Oh, you know it. Oh, you know it. And yeah, I believe that the chemtrails, solar geoengineering, space, it needed a film like that where you walk away and it's just undeniable, because there's so many opportunities for the cognitive dissonance and the denial, and, you know, so many people don't want to think that something so absurd could be happening.
And I think what really nailed it home, and I like the choice that you did in the first of the clips that were actually played, was these old-timey sort of War Department things about modifying the weather and controlling it and that kind of thing. And you just instantly get drawn into this world of, whoa, this stuff's been around a long time.
Mm-hmm. Well, to see the chronology of it for people, I mean, it's such a big thing, you know, and it takes so many resources and so much to actually have a program that is modifying the weather. And then they even take it beyond that to the biological and all this other stuff. But just to sink your teeth into something so large, you need the chronology, you need the timeline, you need to see that they've been working on perfecting this for a long, long time.
Well, you do what I find is the important role of activist filmmakers is to, just like the entertainment filmmakers, is to show the audience something they've never seen before. All right. And as you say, this film and the kind that it does with all of the references and clips in a chronological order had never been done, you know.
No.
It was like it's a horror movie, really. It's the alien of chemtrails, you know.
Thank you.
Ridley Landman.
Well, it's funny, right? Because when I saw the movie recently in the theater, I was thinking to myself, well, I'd seen it 100 times myself, but I thought to myself, did I take this from somewhere else? Does this movie exist already? Because it felt like it so much needed to be out there that it must have already been done, right? But it hadn't. And yeah, I'm really glad that you got to see it all the way over there and that you can share it with everybody.
And I did immediately. Left a comment, subscribed, the whole 9 yards here. So I hope this really does get out there fast and furious, as it were. Maybe make a franchise out of the mother. But anyway, when you make a film, particularly about any kind of information source, the first thing that hits you as a documentarian is how much you don't know, and you get hit back by the information that you're now researching into intensively for the first time. What was that big shock moment for you, which was the first thing that you started to come across in your research for it that just went, go, oh God, oh my God. I mean, I'm sure there were a lot of those moments.
Yeah, especially with this onion or this rabbit hole. I like to call it an onion because you peel back one layer and then there's just another layer underneath and it just keeps going and going. You know, just like how people say the deeper down the rabbit hole you get, the more it unfolds. And I have an answer to your, a specific answer to your question. And so what it was, as I'm researching it all, and I get a lot of help, of course, as well. It's not just me. I have different activists in our network. Don't forget to check out actualactivists.com. There's one plug. That's my website. But yeah, I get a lot of help. And through all these different articles that I'm coming across, especially these PDF files from the 90s of the Air Force and then wanting to control the weather and Harvard getting involved and private donations from Bill Gates helping along solar geoengineering through Harvard and the solar geoengineer proponents such as Ken Caldera and David Keith. I'm starting to look at the bibliographies. I got really deep into these bibliographies. And what happened with me is I thought I was really smart and I went on Google Alerts and I put in the word chemtrail. So anytime the word chemtrails came up on the internet, every day I get a notification. These three articles said the word chemtrails. So I'm keeping up with newer stuff. Well, then ultimately I went and changed my search terms to update me whenever the word geoengineering came out. Because then I was feeling really good about myself. Because, you know, once you dig into chemtrails, you see, oh, the scientific word that they use is geoengineering. So if you want to go and search chemtrails, you're not going to find the articles that they're plugging the word geoengineering into. Well, that, when I started really reading these articles and these publications with talking about solar geoengineering, it starts to unfold your different search terms. And I found solar radiation management and stratospheric aerosol injections. I found the CARE program, C-A-R-E, CARE from NASA, which is the charged aerosol release experiment. They're making ionized radioactive clouds called noctilucent clouds in our atmosphere. And that all unfolded to seeing this reference to the TAP, through the DOE. And so I started looking for that search term.
Whoa. The DAP to the DOE? Yeah, you know me.
The TAP to the DOE, you know me. So what I learned was to find the TAP, which was the Tropospheric Aerosol Program. And that's the Department of Energy, the DOE. And this was in the year 2000. And that was my big, like, holy crap, there's a whole bunch more going on here, because the Department of Energy kind of planned this whole thing out, how they're going to get the budget where they were going to spray what, and they line it out to the T. We're going to put drones here. We're going to spray this city like this, and we're going to mix these chemicals. And then they ultimately it evolved, and it started getting me to look into the Department of Energy. And now I'm really digging into the energy companies, and that's where the onion is just unfolded. So I've got way more information, and even more than a sequel to the movie can even hold, because the coal fire power plants, they're using the coal fly ash. They're taking this. They take the filter out of the – they filter the coal as they burn it. And that as they filter it, they can get these nanoparticulates out of that, and they take that directly to Air Force bases on the trains. And then they can pull out their nanoparticulates from the coal fly ash filters. So they can pull out the strontium, the barium, this titanium and cadmium and all these aluminum and all this stuff, and then they have it easily accessible from the power plants. So that was a big discovery. But then also, and I'm almost done, I learned that these power plants, even these nuclear power plants, they're purposefully putting huge plumes constantly of moisture into the atmosphere. So you need moisture in your atmosphere when you lay out these nanoparticulate aluminums from the planes, because they need water to attach to, right? And if it's a dry day, they don't even bother spraying if it's dry in the atmosphere. But if they can get a bunch of moisture plumes in the atmosphere, steer them around with their HARP technology and what have you, then they have a big area of moisture that they can lay their chemicals on top of. So the Department of Energy and all this connection to them, this is my recent like epiphany that it's all interconnected. And then guess what? The people who burn coal and use oil as an energy, these energy companies, they're the ones who want to block out the sun so that we can't have solar and what have you. So it's all interconnected.
That big aha moment.
There it was. Yes, sir.
Well, and it's important, I think, to have those moments. And I think, what was it? It's an important question to actually ask somebody. When was the last time you had one of those? You know, because if you're not having them regularly, you're stagnating, right? Because the truth's never easy. The truth's hard, just like working out and becoming fitter. It's not freaking as easy as sitting on the couch eating Doritos.
I wish it was.
And conversely, the benefits come from that kind of pain and suffering, I feel. You know, it's one of my philosophies in life. That's why when I have it too easy, it's the only time I pray. God, please fuck up my life. Like, I got it too easy, bro. Like, and every single time, boom, something bad, really bad, it happens to me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. It's a series of plateaus, right? And the next plateau is just waiting for you to you know, for you to build the staircase to.
So what do you reckon is the reception that you're getting to the film?
That's a great question. Ultimately, I wanted to release something that was 60 minutes long. This one was 80, and I just wanted to get it out there because I believe the clock is really ticking, especially because of the censorship online. I painstakingly got up to 22,000 followers on Facebook, but now I don't get any more. I'm not going to get any more followers. I was getting a couple hundred a day. Maybe I get one now because I got turned off. A lot of my posts are blank to all my followers, or they just don't see them. And I know other activists oriented, especially yourself, but not limited to the YouTube pages are being shut down and all this stuff. So I got to a point where I was like, this movie needs to get out. It needs to get out immediately. And I put it up online, which I'm happy that I did so that I could get all the feedback, because 100,000 people have seen it. And I've heard a lot of people say how much they liked it. Also, people that are not awake to chemtrails, and this is a very new subject to them, it's still so daunting to them that I've gotten feedback from them that it's very critical that these are the people that I want to wake up. It's great for people like you and I who are enthralled and we get to learn some more stuff. But those people who I spoke with, they said, hey, you included fluoride and vaccines in a chemtrail movie. Why would you do that? I was trying to learn about one topic and you pushed me away by talking about this. And, you know, and there's certain things These people want a narrator. They want to be walked through it. They want to have their hand held through the entire thing. I'm not going to necessarily give them a narrator, but I have conceded to learning that there needs to be maybe something at the beginning that kind of explains to people what they're getting themselves into. Because some people might watch the beginning and think, oh, this is just going to be some black and white military clips. They don't even really get that it's in chronological order. So there is another version that will be coming out. I'm going to shave off 20 minutes and get it really nice and compact for those people that it's new to, because really it's easy to watch something if you've been watching them spray your skies for the past decade. You know, I mean, you're enthralled and you want a solution, you want an answer, you know, and this is great and you're really happy. But if it's absolutely brand new to you, it might not be as easy to watch as we might think. And so I want to transform it into something really easily and palpable to the general public.
You can't avoid it per se without the advent of comedy and humor. This is how Carlin did it. This is how Hicks did it. This is how Lenny Bruce originally pioneered the concept of putting very sensitive public issues like lewd behavior and conduct and people being arrested for it and censored for it actually wound up paving the way for the rest of us to be able to even have the ability to speak without being charged with obscenity laws. And something tells me that neo-McCarthy era is upon us, you know, that the reds under the beds and the persecution of almost any form of expression is now underway. And the thing is, when people are being suppressed, they feel very afraid, and it can trigger them sometimes into doing something really stupid that the enemy can then use against them, you know. And they're counting on that. They plan on that. They hope that you're that stupid. But unfortunately, I'm not. And it comes down to this whole belief that if you've got an idea in your head that this is the right thing to do and you obey that impulse, that is the only justification that you actually need for what you're doing, so long as you're asking that internally and you're not getting somebody to order you to do that, like a frickin' brain-dead order follower. It's order followers that cause all the atrocities, isn't it? Well, they don't cause them. They carry them out.
Yeah, that's very true. These people are compartmentalized and they're on a need-to-know basis, and then once in that situation where they've been compartmentalized, then they just take authority is the truth instead of thinking for themselves.
I pity those who take authority as truth rather than truth as the authority. Forget who said that one. But I was talking about I was trying to get onto the concept of the grief process. You will initially deny. Right. We all go through this process to one degree or another. Some of us go through it faster than others, but some people never achieve the end of it. They grieve their entire lives. But first, you deny. And then you get angry. Then you try to bargain your way out of it. When you realize you can't bargain your way out of it, stage four, depression. And only after you have a very profound realization do you achieve stage five, acceptance, and then can you move forward? So when you're telling people about chemtrails, hey, by the way, everybody, you know, big smile on your face, you're being sprayed like cockroaches by the government secretly, and they're going to kill you and all other life on Earth forever. And it's going on right now, and nobody doing anything about it to stop it, all right? Now... I don't want to freak you out or anything, you know, and I'm not a scientist or anything, but getting exterminated doesn't sound like the best move. I mean, you know, it's just my subjective opinion.
Yeah, but nobody wants to hear it. And they've built this bubble their whole life, right? They've with their entire paradigm and their ego and everything, and you come along and try to pop that bubble, some people, it doesn't matter how gentle you are, they're not willing to let that thing get popped, and they'll take it to the grave.
It is said that most people never achieve stage five of the grief process acceptance.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that you don't really need them to. Most of the revolutions throughout history have been carried out by a very small percentage of a very determined population. And that's all we need to be here, is simply determined to get the truth out. And it's, there we go. Now, in terms of the reactions that you've been getting to the film, I wonder if anybody's actually been commenting on the amount of effort that it actually takes to track down all these old school chronological accounts of chemtrailing activity.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are really impressed, especially activists that think that they already have seen it all, right? People that are just like, they don't want to watch it because their ego says, oh no, I know everything. But when they do, and they're like, oh, I didn't know about that or that, right? Those are the people that are really, really impressed. I mean, so just to back up, I pulled up this quote. All truth passes through three stages. First, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. Third, it is accepted as being self-evident. And it's Arthur Schopenhauer. But yeah, truth, just, I know you're saying this just the same, but truth and grief, almost identical. And yeah, it was a painstaking process. And I'm blessed to have, like I said, this activist network of help to bring it all together. All of the ideas and the clips and everything, you know, it's all a team effort. And I get sent things every single day. Hey, Matt, have you seen this patent? And did you know about this correlation to, there's just so many different things. Not to go off on a crazy tangent, but someone just sent me the other day.
Before you do, this show please. Is actually built for the vehicle of tangentry thought. So go for your life, son.
Someone just sent me rainwater analyses. Okay. So every time that there's heavy, persistent linear cirrus cloud formations and the lines are gridded out, you know, which I like to bring people's attentions to days where there's nothing going on, because that's the clue. It's not, hey, is that a chemtrail? This isn't. It's look at the days where there's no air traffic above your house, and then look at the days where there is. I mean, if you can start to see that, then you can see the difference. But I've been getting these rainwater analyses. They've been coming in, and people are finding the weirdest things in their rainwater. The one that I'm especially curious about is terbium. Okay. So, I get all these different information from all these different sources, and 99% of it is just incredibly valuable. And I'm so thankful for it. I mean, when you guys had your thunderstorm asthma attacks over there, I was getting eyewitness reports of people dropping on the streets, you know, and they were telling me that they had sprayed heavy and that the sky turned all orangish, and that it was just, that they felt like it was obviously barium, and that the people going in, they didn't have rye allergies, but they did feel like it was a reaction to the barium. These people in the rainwater, they're finding terbium, T-E-R-B-I-U-M, at really high levels. And so I looked up, so what is terbium? Is this something that's used in weather modification, or is this a byproduct of coal, fly ash, power plant usage, or what have you? Terbium is a very, 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 very expensive rare earth mineral, okay? And it being in the rainwater is virtually impossible unless it was put up there. And what is it used for, this very, very expensive rare earth mineral? It's used in plasma television screens. So it seems like the chemtrail agenda, people are hypothesizing that there's a connection to this Project Bluebeam, and Project Bluebeam's a public project where the government wants to show the second coming of Christ or an alien invasion or Nibiru coming by or something. They want to do a holographic imagery in the sky, but they need their canvas up there, which I thought it was just ionized barium, but come to find out they're actually using the materials that are used in televisions in the atmosphere. And I can't help but think that there's going to be some sort of interesting hoax in our atmosphere someday, but maybe they're just testing stuff out to see what they can do.
Well, they always are. And after I watched your film, the first post that I put on Facebook alongside it was, when it comes to military technology, the time that they announce it is usually 10 to 50 years after they've already been testing it on you without your knowledge.
Right. So in the film, in my film Franken Skies, which is the first actual activist's film, this is our film premiere, and then we're going to be coming out with other activist oriented films, and those will all be up.
Did you get it into the Colorado Film Festival by chance, the activist film festival?
I have yet to plug it into film festivals. It's only been out a couple weeks, and I'm just going around touring it, and that's a great idea. I'll be plugging into a bunch of them, including that one. Yeah, in the film, it talks about the spraying of the radioactive cadmium on the innocent civilians of the people of St. Louis in the United States. And this information, it's only public because it's so old. You know, they only give you the information after enough time has gone by where they know that you won't get pissed enough. You know what I mean? That's it. That simple.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry about it, man. It was a long time ago. Let it go. Okay, well, then don't bring up Jesus to me. That's Bill Hicks, ladies and gentlemen, the man. Go look him up on YouTube. Oh, my God. Brilliant. Really helped me to wake up, actually. And, you know, it's part of another one of my philosophies, bro. Is that the comedians have now become the newsmen because the newsmen have turned into a joke.
Yeah, well, they're bought. Everyone's bought. Hey, Vinny, do you mind if I ask when did you wake up to chemtrails and maybe how?
I don't know. 2008 is when I turned activist full time. Started doing interviews in 2010. I guess maybe it's got to be Dane Wigington and What in the World Are They Spraying by Wittenberger and those guys when I started interviewing them in the first years of my show, right? You know, I had an awareness of chemtrails. You know how somebody knows of long division but they can't do long division, you know?
Yeah.
But interviewing some of these guys who were doing documentaries at the time and watching the films themselves just sort of eliminated doubt, all right? And it's one of the most important things that you can really eliminate from somebody about important subjects is doubt, you know? But it's also one of the most important things to keep in your life about pretty much everything. You know, just a little bit of doubt about everything, you know, always being questioned, that kind of thing. Was this forged? Was that? No. We've confirmed it by three or four sources. Okay. It goes into the definitely box, out of the possibility box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a fine balance, to stay open-minded, yet have that discernment of being critical enough to know what's what. And then one more question. Is it true that Australia and New Zealand are just full-on vaccinated? Like, there's a very, very small percentage of the people that are aware of the dangers of vaccination?
95% of New Zealand's population is partially or fully vaccinated.
Wow.
Staunch 5% standing against it. And there is, I think now, a big celebration by the government patting themselves on the back by reaching that 95% vaccinated sort of target. And they're pouring a large amount of money into it, and they give tax breaks to vaccine manufacturers like GlaxoSmithKline and Johnson & Johnson and all these other pharmaceutical companies and stuff like that who can manufacture their drugs here cheaper than they can in other places due to tax credits that the government gives them, and then they subsidize those vaccines and other poisons and things of that nature, and then use taxpayer money to then advertise those things and then give them to you for free.
Okay, well, that's completely disgusting and offensive. And I would just want people that are listening just to please just hear me out real quick. First off, that's totally bogus. The levels of aluminum and mercury and all these horrible things. You're injecting another person's fetal tissue, their DNA, into your baby or into your body. But all that aside, okay, if they're going to force you into it, if you think that it's really something, you're not going to believe me because I don't have a white jacket on and I didn't get a PhD. That's all fine and dandy. But for your children's sake, there's the MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella. It's a three-way shot. You're advised to get that at 18 months, when the baby is 18 months. Now, if you just wait another year, the likelihood of you giving your kid autism or some other horrible thing from it, the likelihood declines very much significantly. They want you to get it 18 months for a reason. Just hold off on just that shot, and you might, if anyone's listening, you hold off on that one shot, MMR. Just hold off on it, and you're going to, And you won't thank me because you won't know how much I saved your child's life. But just do that, please. And then we can talk about chemtrails. So thanks. And that's horrible. And 95%, that's disgusting. I think that, I mean, honestly, you guys need a revolution.
What we do have, unlike a lot of places, is there's no mandatory vaccination. You don't have to get your shots. It's all done by consent. But what's problematic is not only do the doctors not read out the ingredients or known side effects to the patients before giving them to you. But the doctors don't even read them either.
No, and I mean, it's not forced, but when you're, no offense, when you're brainwashed, and we're all brainwashed to a certain degree, when you've been psychologically manipulated and there is mass consciousness manipulation, the psychology of the masses is completely manipulated. I mean, it might as well be called forced vaccination, in my opinion. You guys get some serious, serious EMF over there. I've seen freaking earthquakes in Christchurch be, either way, okay.
There's a lot to talk about. We've had massive harp spikes near Christchurch. We've had reported fireballs creating sonic booms through the atmosphere, which can't happen because fireballs coming out from outside the atmosphere travel at like 30,000 miles an hour or something like that. They can't break the speed barrier. Only when you're going like past 700 miles an hour can you do that, right? And these are all known signs of harp, you know, rainbow clouds. We had emergency disaster relief drills the day it happened. The United States head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency happened to be here on the day, who refused to get on a plane 2 hours before the quake hit to stay behind. But the 9 US congressmen that were here with him did get on the plane and go home, and then the quake hit. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking about like a coordinating a disaster or something. Allegations from Benjamin Fulford, former writer for Forbes magazine, said that there had been a secret meeting between the Prime Minister John Key, who used to work on Wall Street for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, to get some kind of agreement. All right, this is an allegation, but it seems to be interesting that the South Island of New Zealand would accept up to 1 million US refugees at a certain point, right? You're just going to allow about 1 million of us in here. Yeah, that's what you're going to do. And the Prime Minister declined. And a couple of hours later, Christchurch was hit by a massive earthquake. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it gets to a point where it's beyond correlation. And if you want to bury your head in the sand, then you're part of the problem. I hate to say it. But yeah, there seems like there needs to be a mass awakening over there, and it's really important that there's people like you over there. I feel like we need more of it. I want to put together a truth tour and make it global and go everywhere with all of it. There's so much of it that's all interconnected, and people think that it's so confusing and that there's all these different sides of the argument and all this stuff. It's only confusing because they're trying to confuse you. And it's only difficult because you're not completely resonating with truth. And once you are with that truth frequency, it all makes perfect sense. It's all pretty much obvious. What did I just say? All truths are easy to understand once they're discovered. What did I, Third, it is accepted as being self-evident. It's obvious. It's self-evident once these truths are discovered.
It's funny you should say that, because I was just thinking to myself of another quote. The obvious is something everybody can see, but it takes a genius to point out.
Beautiful. I love that one. That's really good. Well, I mean, chemtrails is just like that. If I never looked at the sky, And my awakening story is, I was working on a farm. I was growing potatoes and squash, and we were in Northern California. We were in the midst of a historic drought. We were 5 years into this really horrible drought, and we were due for our seasonal rain, and everybody was ready for it. The 3,000-year-old redwood, they were ready for their seasonal storm. The amphibious creatures that lived under my house, they all came out. They were ready for the storm. The plants, I was out there in my rain, rain gear.
Said, when you said the amphibious creatures came up from under your house, I just remembered that you live in D.C.
I grew up in Washington, D.C. That's a good one. I was in Northern California at the time. No, I can't. Nobody wakes up to anything over there in the East Coast, it doesn't seem. I mean, they're a little step behind, it seems, especially on the front of things like this that are put under the category of the absurdity, right? People just point the finger, they laugh at you, and it's easy because, like you said, everyone gets to go back and have this the doubt. The doubt's there, okay? The doubt's there, then you get to be back in your little bubble and be cozy. So I was in Northern California. I went to Northern California for film school and to get my master's in business, and ultimately I was working on a farm. And this storm is rolling in. There's frogs and salamanders coming out from my building. The storm, the forecast is 100% chance of rain for a week. And on the edge of this big black storm cloud, these planes showed up and they gridded the sky. And then we got no rain, none. We're supposed to get rain for a week. We got 2 days of dark clouds and no rain. And then I started wondering if there was any sort of correlation or causation to the no rain with the lines in the sky. And then I witnessed it again. And I started asking, you guys see those planes? You know, what was that all about? And my one friend, he was like, oh, yeah, chemtrails. You don't know about chemtrails? And that kind of just opened up the door for me. But I had to see it for myself, you know. But once I started really looking at the sky and seeing that they could manipulate the weather, in that instance, they were putting aluminum in the atmosphere to make it not rain. You can dissipate moisture by putting nanoparticulate metallicized particles. This one was aluminum because it spreads out the moisture. You can make it rain by putting silver iodide. It makes the water molecules couple together and fall. Okay, totally different. But this weather manipulation has been going on forever. You try to talk to someone about weather manipulation and they say, oh, the government controls the weather. But now you have the tool of the film Frankenskies to show them, and they can see it for themselves. And once they get through the first 20 minutes, there's no denying it. But the self-evidence that I've really, really woken up to, I know I said it earlier, is focusing on the clear blue days. Like, I've got one today here where I'm at. And when there's no air traffic, I'm not talking about lines in the sky or not. I'm talking about blue skies, no air traffic. And what's today's a Wednesday, you know? So all day on a Wednesday. The next week, it's a Wednesday, and there just happens to be 20 planes in the sky all at once doing things. Something's going on, you know, and that's where you start. They're either doing something or they're not. And then what are they doing, you know? And it all becomes self-evident once you open up that possibility, right?
Well, the human brain is very, very good at pattern recognition, much better than any of the artificial intelligences that we've yet to develop, and be able to see a dog from dots on a page. You know, mm-hmm. We can do that. The machine can't. And so when you actually tell people what to look for, they see it very, very quickly. They'll recognize a pattern. And so that's, you know, one thing like that. There's a blue sky day with no air traffic, and they notice a difference when it's the opposite, right?
Yeah, or the harped frequency manipulated skies. It's like those clouds never existed. And people aren't noticing them. So one thing I like to just say to people, because nobody wants to hear the whole thing, they're not even ready for even the tip of the iceberg. But I point to it and I say, did you know they're experimenting with frequencies in the atmosphere. You see how it looks like a frequency is pulsing through the atmosphere. I just plant that seed. Plant that seed with people. And, I mean, you know, you can only start there, but it's really getting people, you know, getting that, those juices flowing, because it's...
When I was interviewing Dr. Rima Labo, as one of the first people to expose Codex Alimentarius and Agenda 21 and the agenda to outlaw vitamins more or less and make sure that the clean food would only be available to the elite and not the slaves like us. She said that there's this phenomenon that the seventh person to tell you something contrary to your popularly or very strongly held belief will generally be the tipping point. Now, it's like a bell curve, of course. There's somebody you could tell something 100 times. You telling them 100 times doesn't mean nothing. If seven different people tell you once, that makes a difference. But, of course, there's some people that might take 10 people. Some people might take one.
That's very true. So I do a lot of grassroots activism. The past year, I've interacted with thousands of people. I don't leave the house without a flyer. Now I'm going out with actual DVDs and handing people a DVD and a slip and telling them about the information. And what I witnessed was exactly that. I'll go up to people and I'll say, hey, you ever heard of solar geoengineering? You know the word chemtrails. I know it's a dirty word, but blah, 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 blah. And people, they'll either say, oh, no, I've never heard of that. And that's actually pretty much a good thing, because they haven't been totally conditioned yet to knowing, to thinking that you're a crazy person, right? But the people, it's really, really interesting. I've heard it. I've heard this a lot. Over a dozen times, I've heard these words. And they say very, like, sincerely and genuine and like, with wide open eyes, they say, I had a friend that used to talk about this, or I knew someone that used to talk about, and they have this person, but they only have that one person, and they used to talk about it. But now that you're talking about something that they've already heard about once, now they're like, oh, wow, he wasn't that crazy if you're talking about it too, you know? So, and then maybe it won't be that second person. Maybe it'll be someone else will say it another time. But yeah, it definitely takes a couple of things, because yeah, it's just the way the brain works, really. You have to build that mental construct.
Well, and the way that it works in a practical sense as an activist is that if you see scumbaggery, expose scumbaggery, you know? Like if I'm in the supermarket, I'm just saying, hey, try not to touch the ink on those receipts there. And they go, well, why is that? Well, it's got bisphenylalanine, BPA. It'll give you breast cancer. Or if you're a guy, it'll turn you into a girly boy. You know, it's not ideal. You know, you just say that one thing, little factoid. I call it the information grenade. You pull the pin, you chuck it in, and hopefully it blows up in their face later, you know?
Yeah, well, you can lead a horse to water, right?
You can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
I love it. But yeah, that BPA thing is out of control. I was watching a news snippet today, and they took 35 baby chew toys, every baby chew toy on the market, every single one, it tested positive for BPA, every one. Even the ones that said BPA free.
Yeah. Even the Canadian ones that where it's pronounced BPA.
Oh, man. You know, I just lived up in Canada for a couple of years, and it's funny. They say a few things. Yeah, it's funny up there. I picked up a few words. I say again now, and I say a boot, but just for fun.
Yeah, it is good.
Good thing.
Now, and the thing is, it's not a boot. It's a boat.
So I want to talk about something while I have you. So there's this thing that I like to bring up in the film, and I touch upon it in my presentations, and it's called civil society actors. And I uncovered this research, and this was another aha, where in 2012, there was a meeting of the civil society actors in Washington, D.C., and 40 people met. And, well, what's a civil society actor, first off? And I had to first, once I came across this term, I was kind of baffled and dumbfounded and curious. And what I learned was the civil society actors are non-governmental participants in the society that manifest the will of the public. So it's basically PSYOP type.
This is what when I was interviewing Joseph Antwell about the creation of the acid culture in the 60s, he said that this term lifetime actor now needs to come into public consciousness, just like the term whistleblower came into public consciousness. And he pointed to people like Bill Gates, for example, totally fabricated, never created anything in his life, and he just pushes vaccines, pushes the agendas for the government. It's precisely what you're saying. So what was the term again?
This one was civil society actors. And this, there was a civil society actor meeting in 2012 in Washington, D.C. And the focus was geoengineering. Okay. And it sounds really innocent, right? Oh, yeah, civil society actors. Huh? Right. And once I uncovered this article, and I'll send it to you, once I uncovered this website, it explains that these 40 people came and they literally planned how the conversation was going to be staged. And that first they were going to make geoengineering a bad idea. And they'll all come out with articles starting the conversation on geoengineering, you know, the Hegelian dialectic, right? We will give them the problem, which is climate change. And then the solution down the road will be, of course, blocking out the sun with chemtrails. We have to walk them through it. We have to hold their hand through it. So where's the fear going to come? Well, first we have to tell, you know, the polar bears are dying, you know, you're all going to be underwater, la, la, la. So they planned it all out. There's a quote in this meeting. They say, oh, society's not good at strategy. Society is not good at strategy, they say. But we are, because we can plan and they can't, though, because they're so divided and they're just going to bicker about stuff. You know, you see what society does. They get it down to the color of your skin and your ideologies on religion, and then we start killing each other over it, right?
It's all very well for social engineers to say society just ripping itself apart, you know. Because of what you're brainwashing us with your public relations bullshit and Bernaysian propaganda, you scumbags! For fuck's sake!
Exactly, Edward Bernays. I mean, not very many people know that he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. I mean, these people are very, very smart psychologists, and they control the way that you perceive everything. Your senses, your tastes, everything are formed. And so these people, they came together, they staged it all. They said, first, we're going to say geoengineering is a horrible idea, but we need a solution. Then we'll slowly say, well, actually, it's the good idea. And then we'll finally work them into a corner where it's the only solution. And they planned it all out. And in just a few short years, with hundreds of articles through all these controlled media outlets, they now have people thinking that because Trump didn't sign this Paris Accord, now they're left with no options but to, ta-da, solar geoengineer, which is they're going to have to, well, first we're going to carbon capture. And who has the patents? Well, it's David Keith and Bill Gates. But along with the carbon capturing, which we're going to charge you for your carbon, by the way, you're welcome, we're also going to block out your sun.
Now, it just hit me why the Trump presidency was necessary for the establishment, you know?
Oh, well, they need someone to point their finger at.
Yeah. They need somebody to blame and somebody to spark up. Somebody offensive. Somebody who's bombastic. Somebody who'll get everybody really riled up and at each other's throats, who'll say the most outlandish and offensive things that will keep everybody so divided in a very strong fashion that each and every individual group that opposes scumbaggery in any way will one by one get singled out and neutralized. And then it'll move on to the next group, single them out, and neutralize them. And by the time it gets to the last group of opposition, there won't be anybody left to stand against the establishment. Where did this fucking happen before? I can't remember my history properly. It happens every single time
puppet.
A dictatorship.
He's the absolute perfect puppet for the New World Agenda. He really is.
I mean, what is it like? 90% of his cabinet is Ashkenazi Jewish. Like a whole bunch of them are from the Council on Foreign Relations, a whole bunch from the Trilateral Commission, Goldman Sachs, Skull and Bones. I mean, Bilderberg. I mean, it's the very alternative media that convinced the truth movement, or the conspiracy theorists, for lack of a better word. And I say it as a positive label, because if you're not a conspiracy theorist, you're a coincidence theorist who thinks that everything just happened by accident. You know, there's no such thing as deception. Oh, it just doesn't happen. People with money and power, they don't require more money and power to keep their ego afloat. No, it just doesn't happen. But actually, it does. And what happened was, I was watching it in slow motion, bro, and it freaked the hell out of me to see everybody who knows what the New World Order looks like fall hook, line, and sinker for the New World Order.
Yeah, it's really, really, really sad, and it's right in your face. And that's the thing about it all, is it's right in your face. And if you can't see the forest through the trees, I don't know what to tell you. You're not looking.
The creation of the OSS for World War II, which became the CIA, you know what their one job was? To sow disinformation and misinformation amongst America's enemies. When they became the CIA, that program was only extended to include Americans as its enemies, and all free peoples of this earth as its enemies, to ply disinformation and misinformation. They hijacked a train full of letters bound for Berlin and put fake letters in to that train, stole all the correspondence, and then put fake letters in to sow distrust and things like that, right? Scary, scary stuff. And that's what they could do during World War II, bro. All right? Not too long, that'll be like 100 years ago. What do you think they're capable of doing now? They can practically put thoughts in your mind. That's what they can do now. Psychotronic weaponry. That is a Google search term that is a whole lot of fun, ladies and gentlemen. Smoke a joint and Google psychotronic weaponry. You will laugh your socks off. And then wonder whether or not most of your thoughts are really your own.
This is very true. I've looked into psychotronics, and it's unreal. And what they've been able to do through their manipulation of the masses, through the disinformation, misinformation, is they've got everybody so confused that they don't have enough to formulate an opinion. So you talk to people, you want to talk to somebody that's young about 9/11, and you know what they say? They say, I've heard a lot of things about that. That is exactly the words that come out of their mouth. And what they mean by that is, well, if I Google that, I'm bombarded with both sides of the argument, and I wasn't there, is what they say.
Well, unfortunately, the first responders were. And when the asbestos-ridden set of buildings were declared safe to enter into the cloud to, so they could get the stock market back open and collect all the put options on United Airlines, you know, that kind of thing. And all and a lot of those people today who went in to try and save their fellow man are dead, and many are still dying, and the US government failed to give any of them any compensation for their sacrifice as yet. Now that is America, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake. Thank you very much, Matt Landman, for coming here today. And also Frank and Skies, ladies and gentlemen. Go and search that up. And TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com needs your support, ladies and gentlemen, every day of the week, every day of the month. Ladies and gentlemen, go to TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com through the KiwiBank, PayPal, or Patreon. Support me. Please, support me today. We'll catch you again sometime. Thank you very much for listening.